Well, as I suggested, the readings in a sense of turn inside out today, we have the reading of the Magnificat first, which we read together, and then the Gospel reading. And I want to look at that Gospel reading, often known or called the Annunciation of Mary, the announcements that Mary would bear the baby Jesus. It's a classic passage, isn't it? I'm sure we know it from our childhood. I wonder what sort of images it conjures up. Perhaps it conjures up images of young children being asked to do their nativity plays, and children, particularly young girls, of course, playing the part of Mary. And all sorts of images and smiles we might have, and maybe some of you have played that part in years gone by. Or perhaps we're a bit more grown up, and you think of something by Fra Angelico, 1483 to 1450, or Leonardo da Vinci, 1474, or Robert Campin, 1425, or Giotto di Bondone, or something like that from the 15th century. One of those great pictures, paintings. Now, I can see that doesn't conjure up very much for you at all, just looking at you. It's hard, isn't it? Different people have different views when they think of the Annunciation, but it was a great subject of painting in that particular era. Young Mary, kneeling, sometimes at a prayer desk, looking as if butter wouldn't melt, very angelic, next to a feathery angel, wing on her hand on her shoulder, giving a little announcement, whispering in her ear, all very, very inspirational. Perhaps not for some people at all, maybe it's not your thing at all. You know, let's think about Mary for a minute. She would have been a 12 or 13 year old girl. I say girl, hardly even a young woman at that age. And yet that was the custom, promising marriage to a man probably a lot older than she was. He was a carpenter. We might imagine how much older he was. But they were betrothed, as the custom of the day. So to get out of that, there would have needed to be a divorce if it was to come apart, and all sorts of ostracisation that would have gone with that. But we can imagine she was a child of genuine faith and understanding, at least as far as her abilities and her sex allowed her to understand at that young, young age. And next to her, the angel. I wonder what you think of angels. Was this the same angel that chastised Zechariah for not believing God's messenger? Was it a different angel? Well, of course, Luke doesn't tell us at all. But I wonder what you think of angels. Some of you perhaps have had experiences of angels, physical experiences perhaps. I'll tell you about my experience of an angel, a physical angel, I'm quite convinced. It's almost 30 years ago now. I was travelling in Africa, I was in Kenya, I was in the Taita Taveta Hills in southern Kenya, and I'd taken a bus journey from Mombasa to my next port of call, a diocesan guest house retreat centre where I was to be met by a local clergy person. And somehow the bus had taken a lot longer than it should, and it dropped me out in a place that I had no idea where it was. There were no English speakers around, no sign of any other buses, but it's quite clear it wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I wondered what on earth to do. And I sat down late afternoon on the steps of a building and just sat there and quite honestly just prayed, what on earth do I do now? Don't know who to talk to, where to go. And in that moment, I was aware of somebody very physical sitting next to me on the step. I don't know where they came from. Spoke to me in perfect English, Kenyan coloured skin, and said to me, what's the problem? And I said, well, I've arrived here and I don't know where I'm going. I'm supposed to be meeting somebody. I'm not sure I know the name of the place. The bus was supposed to stop there and it hasn't. What do I do? And the person just said to me, walk round the corner into the next square and you'll find there's a bus there in about 20 minutes. It'll take you exactly where you want to go. So I walked round the corner, stood there and waited. The bus came in. The bus went exactly where I needed. And when I got to the other end, and the person met me who was supposed to be meeting me, the conversation went something like this. Where have you been? How did you get here? We were expecting you hours ago. The bus came through and you weren't on it. I phoned back to Mombasa to try and find out where you are. What happened? And so I explained. And I am quite convinced to this day that that was God's angel for me in that particular moment and time. Some of you will have had experiences similar or different, perhaps. Some more dramatic than others. Many think they've had angels surrounding them, perhaps in difficult situations. There's been some miraculous event has happened, often the avoidance of something that might have happened, and I'm sure you're absolutely right. Some people think angels are there when we just hear words in our ears, when we have a sense of something being spoken to us, and yet they're words that we've heard that nobody around could possibly have heard or seen or witnessed. And I'm sure you're right. But I also believe that this angel that appeared to dear Mary was indeed an angelic form of some sort. Probably not with great feathers and wings and the Christmas card stuff, but nevertheless, a real angel. Mary knows very clearly that she's called and she receives God's message. And deep in her soul, she knows it is God, the loving God of her people, who is reaching out. The God of her ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has spoken to her and given her this powerful commission. It's a commission which must have been so hard for her to comprehend. I wonder what her instant, deep felt reaction must have been to the words of that angel. Well, we don't know too much, but we do know that she responded incredibly positively to that news that she would bear the Son of the Most High by the power of God. To people who knew their scriptures, the best way of describing the Son of God's future greatness would have been in terms of the promises made to the King David, to great King David, the special favour God would show to his royal line. And if Mary's child would be the fulfilment of those promises, as she held some in growing conviction would be the case, then this Son would reign forever. God would be his Father, and he would be the very Son of God. We can only begin to imagine what Mary understood as a 12, 13-year-old. It's rightly, rather than the bold understanding Luke's gospel might suggest, that Mary more took on the idea, and as the baby grew inside her, she grew to accept it, rather like the disciples would accept things, but then grow to understand them through their puzzlement and wonder over a period of time. But it doesn't matter so much how much Mary understood at that moment, it's how she received and responded to that message. How was that? Well, Luke tells us Mary was highly favoured. Some would say full of grace and favour. In other words, she was loved by God and she knew she was loved by God. And that grace and favour, rather like a bottle, was filled and overflowed, and it overflowed in joy in that moment. And that is where the words of the Magnificat come from. Mary overflowing with praise and wonder at what God had called her and chosen her for. I believe she was overflowing with grace and favour and joy simply because I don't believe that God forces himself on people. And the point is that Mary was willing. The time came, the message came, Mary, supremely obedient, was able to respond. May it be to me as you have said. Totally unreserved. And so filled with joy, her words just come naturally. My soul magnifies, glorifies, worships Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Just notice the difference for a moment between Mary's response and Zechariah's response that we heard about in our readings last week. Deep questioning and a lack of belief. Yet Mary, the response is yes, and the joy overflows. So what's the challenge for us on Advent 4 as Christmas closes in fast on its heels? Well, I want to say, might the Holy Spirit work in us, and might it fill us so much that we are overjoyed when God calls us, as he will, to something new. When he calls us to give a reason for the hope within us, might we feel that hope and that joy welling up inside us? When we're called to share the gospel of love in word and action, might we be filled with joy in our response? where we're called to serve in some unexpected and unlikely way, might we be so filled with joy that it overflows as Mary's joy did. So today, Advent 4, we thank God for Mary's example, for the challenge and response that we see in her story, for her overflowing joy. And as we arrive at Christmas, to celebrate the birth of that child that she bore for us, might we be able to respond when God calls and prompts us a bit more like Mary did, so that he can further his kingdom building work. Might we overflow with joy as she did, to his glory and for his name's sake. Amen.